Rowdy Roddy Piper joins us on Sports Byline. And if you've followed professional wrestling over the last 30 years, you certainly know this name because this is one of the names that's synonymous with the growth of the sports slash business slash entertainment. Well, now that he is out of the ring pretty much, he has written a book called In the Pit with Piper. Rowdy Roddy Piper gets rowdy, and he joins us here on Sports Byline. What was the reason, Roddy, for writing this book, first of all?
I want to thank you so much for having me on the air. And we were just talking before. Last time I almost got you thrown off the show. So the fact that you got the guts to have me back on, God bless you, lad. I'll tell you why I wrote this book. Much like everything else in my life, there was no premeditation to it. About 2 years ago, these fellows had come out with a book. I think Mick Foley had actually pioneered it, to give credit there. And I had seen what they had written. And they did a good job, but it was fairly superficial and a little bit self-serving, which is okay. But I've had such an amazing career as far as the people in America and around the world saving my life and taking care of me at different times in my life that I needed to tell the true story. I'm not casting any aspirations on anybody else, just the true story from my memory, because, you know, when I started, we didn't write nothing down. Everything was done in your head. You know, me and John Gotti were sitting around different businesses, but, you know, everything was kept in our head. And so as the sport developed into what it is now, I go back 35 years. I've had over 7,000 pro fights. It's a world record. And other than the our boys over in the Armed Forces Network, who they're the only guys tougher than I am there, I wrote it to set the record straight, one, but two, to help the wrestlers that are coming up today, help them, give them a little bit of a map on how not to get trapped by promoters. You know, they're in the book, it tells about murder, assisted suicide. We have the highest suicide rate of any sport in the world. And there's reasons for this. I point them out, and I'm trying to give back a little bit here, a lot, actually, for the kindness that I've been given during my career. And that's the sole purpose. Don't get me wrong. I got big black wings. Monetarily, it won't hurt my family at all. But I kept the price of the book down as much as I could because it's for everyone.
Let me ask you about Saskatoon, Canada. Tell me what that... Tell me what that town was like.
I tell ya. Colder than a well digger's bum, I'll tell ya. It was a town that I didn't spend much time there. I was born there. From what I can remember, it was prairie, you know, so you could see Saskatoon 60 miles away on the prairies at nighttime with the lights come on. It was a very, 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 there was a lot of Indian population that were having a hard time at the time. From there, I went over to Glasgow. Then down to Australia, then back to Canada, to even a more interesting place, the Paw, Manitoba, which is an Indian reservation. And when I was there, like when I was five or six, and that's where I took up the bagpipes. It's kind of interesting because nobody in the world can tell me why, including myself, why I ever started the bagpipes. I started on this Indian reservation, so I can't imagine the Cherokee dancing around the fire playing the bagpipes. I have no idea why, but I ended up coming fifth in the world playing them. So the whole place, it was the home of the World's Trappers Festival in the wide world of sports years ago, and it was a very rough town. One of the things that they taught you was when I was the only white kid there, and they used to teach you on the way from school during the wintertime, the wolves would get hungry. It's way up there. They had working husky dogs. And so they taught you this little song because on your way back from school, if you were quiet and you came up on a wolf or something like that and startled it or a cougar, it would turn on you. So this is how the song went. And I sang it something like this because I wanted to make sure I got home. 1, 2, 3, 4. John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith, his name. And I let every coyote, beaver, and wolf know that I was coming. And that's kind of the way I was raised, man.
You left home at the age of 12 and lived on the streets after you had a fight with your father. How much of that fashioned who you became and what you decided to do by getting involved with wrestling?
I tell you what it did for me. I lived on the street for 2 years, and as I've gone in my career, I had the fellow email you. The greatest thing has happened right now in my career is the outpour of unity I have with the fans. And over my lifetime, I tell you, I'll give you an example. I was in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was coming out, and there's the police regarding me, and this kid broke through the police line, and he grabbed me around the neck. And the police went into action, but, you know, I've been around long enough by that time. I could tell the kid wasn't trying to hurt me, and I stopped the police, and he was crying. He was crying hard. He was just, you know, I guess him to be 21, 22, and just a little frail kind of guy, a real. And I says, you know, what's wrong? And he says this to me. He says, I was sitting down, and I was pouring bleach into a glass, and I was going to drink it and kill myself. He said, and I looked up at the TV, and there you are doing an interview. And he says, it stopped me. I called 911, and I got help, and I'm here today. And I had nothing to do with that. That's God. But the people that have come to me because of my childhood that you were saying, I purposely in the book started the book in 1969 because I didn't want to get into my particular childhood. However, it's kind of evident. And the amount of people that have come, I've come across over the years that have said that in some way or another, you know, just through the situation that have been helped by it, it's, if that's what relates, I'm trying to relate that to what you're asking me, sir, about my childhood, is I understand. They don't have to explain it to me. One of the hardest things for people to do that have been through this type of thing is, you know, to have to actually explain it. You know what, brother, you don't need to explain it to me right now. I know exactly what it is, and I know how you're feeling, and it's unbelievable the amount of fans that have turned out, and it's my pleasure to help them.
What was it that made you gravitate toward wrestling? And you had your first match at the age of 15 against the Axe Hennig, right?
Yeah, geez.
You lost in how many seconds?
Well, sir, it takes a three count to pin you, so I got to take three off, so it means I lasted seven. My whole pipe band played me to the ring. It was my first professional match, and I hadn't seen a professional wrestling match. I was a 167 amateur wrestling champion, a Golden Gloves champion, and later on I got black belt. But my pipe band, I said to him, hey, this guy, I was living at the Police Athletic League, and one of the cops, they had a hostel there, and one of the cops was a professional referee, and somebody just didn't show up. I said to my pipe band, hey, man, I got a gig here. He says, I can get $25 for fighting this guy. What do you do? And so they were trying to explain. They said, hey, we'll play you in. I said, far out. Boom, I went and got these things made and boots made, and I went and swiped a basket for the Marlboro Hotel, and I wanted to put roses in it, but I couldn't afford them, so I picked dandelions. So now there's Larry Henning. He's in the ring, 320 pounds, a Viking. You know, there's fire coming out of the hairs of his nose. This guy, and all of a sudden, you could hear a pin drop back then. And all of a sudden, this 167-pound skinny, pimply kid is coming to the ring with a full pipe band, throwing dandelions to the crowd. Well, by the time I got in there, Larry looked at me, and the bell rang, and I thought I was pretty darn good. And here I come, and pow! He hit me, and it felt like a mule, and I started to go outside the ropes onto the concrete, and I'm sure, just out of the kindness of his heart, he snatched me by the hair so I wouldn't hit my head against the concrete, axed me and covered me. My pipe band left. They were so embarrassed, and they broke my nose. I was sitting down on a bench, and I saw these penny loafers come up. It was a promoter. He said, kid, you did great. How'd you like to go to Kansas City? I said, is Larry Henning going to be there? He said, no, we won't overmatch it. And, you know, I got a grade 8 education. I didn't have anything else, and I just went for it.
So, in other words, you decided this is the life for you.
Yes, sir, because, you know, I didn't seem to fit in. And all of a sudden, I went from having no father to, like, 100 fathers, all so cool in their own way, and in a lifestyle of a gypsy type of lifestyle where there wasn't a lot of rules other than the rules of God. And but in my where I'm coming from, I was on the street. I would have been dead if
got about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir.
I said got about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would have been dead if it wasn't for wrestling. Bottom line, here we go. You know, In the Pit with Piper.com. You can see old wrestling matches as they were. I love you. Thanks for the time. May you be a half an hour in heaven before the devil knows.
Thanks a lot.
God bless.
Rowdy Roddy Piper joining us and you here on Sports Byline USA. And the name of his new book is In the Pit with Piper. We'll take a break. Come back on the other side as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.